the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for February the 20th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that the peaceful solutions are right at our fingertips. They're called checks and balances, and they work. And that's how we, the people, can peacefully be involved in the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration, ladies and gentlemen, of America. We also support the greatest export being God, family, and country. The best export being the Ten Commandments. The best export being there's something above government, and that's Christianity. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic Saturday. Every day is freedom-loving. Every day is fantastic. Every day is faith-filled. At least we hope that's the case. I want to make a tribute broadcast for 2 hours today to the late Rush Limbaugh. Was he perfect? Far from. Did he hit the news as hard as we do? Not even maybe. Was he a good person? Well, I think he started out a pretty good talk show host, but then he kind of went to become a Republican water boy for the Bucks. But as his life evolved, from what I understand, he became a man of faith. And he embraced faith. That's a critical thing, ladies and gentlemen. If we gain something in this life, to become a Christian, to believe in Christ, to have hope, to have faith, to have charity for others, to learn to serve one another with kindness and love, to learn to be like the Savior Jesus Christ to the best of our ability. I know we'll never be the Savior. I understand all that. But I know we can try to, well, what did he say? Come follow me. If we can do that to the best of our ability, it makes 10 times more out of our lives by being Christians and followers of Christ than we can make on our own. And I think Rush, by the end of his life, I am told by those who surrounded him and who were near him, that he did embrace faith, that he became a man of faith. And you can see it in his broadcasts as the days unfolded, as he got sicker, as he became, in my opinion, a man of faith. And you know what? I'm not here to judge if he was a real Christian or a baby Christian or, it was just for show. I don't know any of those things. I don't know the man's heart. But I do know those who are closest to him say, you know what? He was a man of faith. He became a man of faith. And I'm just delighted about that. I think that's wonderful. I hope that can happen for anybody, that they can make changes, that they can repent, that they can turn to God, that they can receive comfort and peace and strength and courage and all the attributes of Christ to the best of our abilities. I know we have fallen way short, but by his grace, he'll make up for our inadequacies. No doubt about it. It isn't really us. It's the grace that makes that happen. I understand. I also understand, though, that we need to do all we can do. And I also understand that, you know what, when people trend in that direction in their lives, it's a wonderful thing, no matter who it is. Well, anyway, so in a tribute broadcast to Rush Limbaugh, I have no guests today. It's just me. Isn't that the way Rush would do it? All right. I'm going to start out by playing Amazing Grace. There's a group called the Cactus Cuties. This is also a tribute broadcast to the great state of Texas, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, did I say Amazing Grace? All right, the Cactus Cuties sang Amazing Grace, too, by the way. A tremendous rendition. Well, anyway, the Cactus Cuties are several girls that are about 8 to 14 years old, from what I understand. And they're from Texas, and they got the chance to sing the national anthem. So I'm not playing Amazing Grace now. I should, though, at the death of Rush Limbaugh, the tribute, if you will. Amazing Grace, don't we all need, right? However, I will play the national anthem, though, in patriotic duty to God, family, and country, to prayers for the Texans who are struggling in a mighty cold freeze, and to Rush Limbaugh. Let's kick it off with the national anthem there, Jay.
Proudly we hailed at the
All right, we're looking live on a Saturday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Rush Limbaugh got his career started, really, in sports, right? Does anybody know that? He became a talk show host. He was a sports guy. And so I wanted to kick off the Cactus Cutie National Anthem to kind of give a tribute to Rush, a tribute to the Texans, a tribute to all things holy and honorable and good and righteous and everything else. And I bring all that up because the Cactus Cuties, in my opinion, they're something. You know, I know that, you know, a lot of people like the national anthem sung by a rock star female hero or whatever. And, you know, it's the best rendition. Whitney Houston made the best rendition ever and whatever. But I look at these little teeny girls and I think, wow, theirs is every bit as good as anybody's. And what I love about it is it really serves up on a platter the innocence, the hope, the future, the patriotism that, you know what, young ones can have if they're taught right. When I mean taught right, I mean taught about God, family, country, taught about the protection of life, liberty, and property, taught about proper patriotism, taught about gratitude and appreciation, taught about all the principles that make people great. We're not great. We're not great because we're important. We're great because we're God-fearing Americans. And we can teach others to be great, too, by following the look at God for solutions, not government. Here's Amazing Grace, Cactus Cuties.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did the grace appear the hour I first believed.
Ladies and gentlemen, a wretch like me and a wretch like Rush and a wretch like you and a wretch like all of us compared to the perfect one, Jesus Christ, the only perfect one to ever live. But that's who we can follow, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't that give you courage and hope? Doesn't that give you a desire to be a little better, to work a little harder, do a little more, right? Now, here's what's fascinating. I'm running around playing Amazing Grace and the national anthem on your radio, and it reminds me of the opportunity that I had the chance in freezing, I mean absolutely freezing temperatures, to sing Amazing Grace. I'll tell you about it coming up. We were outside. It was freezing cold, and they tried to pin me as a terrorist for it. Details in seconds.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, this is Liberty Roundtable Live. We're live 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest, just as we would hope it to be. Hard work's good for the soul and good for you and me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was mentioning right before the pause that, you know, the Cactus Cuties sing Amazing Grace. They sang the national anthem, a tribute to Rush, a tribute to Texas, and a tribute to God-fearing America. Because remember, it's about God, family, and country. And what makes America great is that we realize there's something greater than government. And that's God Almighty, who we turn to, whose laws we need to obey if we want success, if we want to remain the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, if we fail to obey God's commandments, and other countries obey God's commandments, then they'll be great and we won't. It isn't a matter of white supremacy or any of those lies they tell you, ladies and gentlemen. It's simply a matter of reality. Obey God's commandments and he will keep his promises. He will protect us. He will heal our land. Okay, so it's not we're great because we're better than anybody else. That's all bogus. We're great, ladies and gentlemen, because when we do what the author of liberty says, we have more liberty. Where the spirit of God is, there also is liberty, is the point, right? I digress. I'm telling you about a story when I had the chance to sing Amazing Grace, not near as prettily as the Cactus Cuties, I might add. You know, my redneck voice probably ain't very pleasant to listen to. Nevertheless, the feeling, the sentiment, the intentions were valid. So I cast my mind back 5 years ago. What was it? January the 2nd, 2016? And Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, Kurt Crosby, and many others went to Oregon. And we went to the state of Oregon because we wanted to, or Oregon, is that how you say it, to help a couple out, the Hammonds, a patriot rancher community, a rancher family, a couple, and Mr. and Mrs. Hammond, Mr. Hammond and his son, Stephen Hammond, so Dwight and Stephen were going to go to prison. Because they did what's common practice in the West. They lit a backfire to stop a fire that was burning. But it got a little bit, you know, sometimes you can't control the exact fire. It got a little bit on government BLM land. And so they charged them and sent them to prison. And then they said it was terrorism. And anyway, long story short, the prosecutions continued. It was in the Barack Obama administration, and they were dubbed as terrorists, this Steve and Dwight Hammond. And so we all went there to have a big rally and asked the sheriff to please help us stop the persecution and prosecution of Dwight and Steve Hammond. And we went there, and we had a nice, peaceful rally. And I'm telling you right now, it was bitter cold middle of January in Oregon. The sun was out, so it wasn't, 100% cold, but it was like 8 degrees or 6 degrees or something like that. So everybody was all bundled up and everything else. And well, anyway, Richard Mack and myself and Kurt Cosby, we were leading the rally as we walked from where we were peacefully meeting together. And we walked to the by the sheriff's office, and then we eventually walked to the Hammond's home. And when we got to the Hammond's home, it was freezing cold, man. And all of us had the chance to file up there. We took turns, and we all went to the Hammonds, and we all said something to them, shook Dwight's hand, gave Mrs. Hammond a hug, and we promised them that we would do all that we could to see that, you know what, one, we wanted to stop them from having to go to jail, and the Hammonds said, no, please don't cause any trouble. We'll just go to jail and do what we're told, proving, in my opinion, they're not even close to terrorists, proving that they're law-abiding citizens, and they're just like, look, let the process or whatever you want to say, take its course. And so we honored them in that. And we said, okay, we understand. However, we'll do all we can to see you released. We gave them hugs. There was a lot of tears. And then when we stepped back after everybody had kind of filed up and we had kind of stepped back, they were still on their porch, the Hammonds. Old couple, man, in their 70s, right? Why on earth they're going to jail when just thugs and gangbangers and government bureaucrats that are on the take and criminals are all running around free. I have no idea why the Hammonds would be going to jail, but they were, and there was terrorism charges, claims against them and everything else, and it was just a shame. But there were a lot of tears shed and a lot of heartfelt hugs and sentiments given and all that kind of stuff. When we got done, we stepped back, and we were like across the street, I think it was, from the Hammonds. And all of a sudden, Richard Mack starts quietly singing Amazing Grace, and everyone joined in. And we had this, all up and down the street. The street was full of people. All up and down the street, it just caught on, and everybody sang Amazing Grace to this dear couple on their porch in the freezing cold. I'm telling you right now, 9 degrees, whatever it was. It was single digits for sure. And everybody was bundled up and all this kind of stuff, except for me. Of course, I had my head bare and my face open and stuff like this. But we sang Amazing Grace, and I'm telling you, the spirit of liberty was there, folks. I kid you not. And so I look at the Cactus Cuties, and they're singing of the Amazing Grace, and they're singing of the national anthem, and I just go, you know what? That's the future of America. Patriots taught right by their parents to understand the sacred cause, to understand their relationship with God, to know who they are, to have confidence in God Almighty, to have trust in the proper role of government. No, anyway, and so I look at this, and I go, after that event, then Ammon Bundy and a few people decided to take over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. And as you know, me and Richard Mack disagreed with that decision. They tried to get me to be the main media man inside. I refused. They got Pete Santilli. He did it against my advice and went to prison. That's a sad tale to tell. I'm sad about all that. I don't think he should have gone to prison, but nevertheless, he did. I refused to take over or be part of the National Wildlife Refuge because I believe, like the Hammonds, that, you know what, there's a time to protest and there's a time to stand down. There's a time to boldly stand up and a time not to. And if we stand up together early enough, peacefully enough, we can stop the bad things from happening. But if we don't, then, you know, once the train gets a rolling of tyranny or the train gets a rolling of abuse of power, it's about impossible to stop. So by the time they called the Hammonds terrorists and everything else, hey, it's time to stand down a little bit because the government's ready to go to war. I mean, if you don't believe me, just ask David Koresh of the Branch Davidians. Just ask Vicky Weaver holding a baby in her arms, innocent and unarmed, when Lon Horiuchi, the government sharpshooter sniper, murdered her in cold blood at the Randy Weaver fiasco. Okay, the government means business. Just ask when Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Lavoy Finicum got stopped on that road trap created for them after the Malheur Wildlife Refuge situation. Look, they literally killed Lavoy Finicum in cold blood. Okay, the government means business, and they're brutal and hostile. And that's a sad statement. Now, they would tell you that I'm anti-government, but they lie. I'm for the proper role of government. I'm just not for this misuse of government power. Anyway, I'm telling you that we sang this peaceful event, And then we left. And they wanted to do the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover, and we refused. Me and Richard Mack and Kirk Crosby left. Well, we wrote a press release against taking over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. And in the press release, it summarized what I just kind of told you, that, you know what, we believe there are better ways. We don't believe this is the way to go about it. We still support Ammon Bundy and crew, but we think their tactics are not the tactics that should be used. I don't know how to say it, but we backed away from that. But anyway, while we were issuing our literal press release, literally while we were trying to get our statement out to the media so they knew who was who. Remember, I told you my face was bare, right? And they took a photo of me and Kurt and Richard Mack. I was the only one that had my face open and clear, easy to see, leading this group of patriots to sing Amazing Grace at the Hammonds' home, which we did. I don't know if there were police officers embedded in the crowd or not. I don't care. We weren't doing anything wrong. Okay, there was no violence. There was no agitation. There was no destruction of property. There was none of that. It was just an amazing event to sing Amazing Grace. And, while I was issuing this press release with Richard Mack saying we disagree with the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover, there were two events, the peaceful rally and then after that a separate takeover of the Malheur, right? While we were issuing our press release, they literally took my photo from that peaceful rally leading this group of people to the Hammonds home to sing Amazing Grace and give them hugs and pray for them and promise them that we would do our very best to peacefully see that we could help them be released from prison because we believe they were wrongfully convicted over political matters. While we were issuing our press release, they literally took that peaceful photo of us leading the crowd, my face front and center, and they put it on an article and on several articles in the mainstream press that was the takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Now, they didn't say that I took over the refuge because they know they'd get nailed to the wall for slander and libel. But what they did is they put my picture on that, making it appear that I was part of that. Right? Because you got the Malheur takeover article and you got Sam Bushman front and center. And this is where the media was so, the drive-by media, let's give this a tribute to Rush. The drive-by media was on full auto, baby. Full auto against Sam Bushman. And they lied. And they were dishonest. And they know they lied. They lied because they intentionally mixed the two events together. Dishonestly. And they lied because they committed sins of omission against me, making it appear as such, but never stating as such. They walked a fine line of immorality and dishonesty as the drive-by media was on full auto. We'll come back. I'll talk about it more. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. President Biden promising more help for Texas, the massive winter storm causing many to lose access to electricity and water. Biden saying Friday he'll sign a major disaster declaration for the state and he'll visit soon. Two pilots killed in a training mission. The Air Force announcing a jet out of Mississippi crashed Friday near Montgomery, Alabama. No word on the pilots' identities or what happened. NASA sharing what it calls exhilarating pictures of Mars. Pictures taken by the rover Perseverance that landed Thursday, available at NASA.gov, along with a stop-motion video of the rover's landing. Former astronaut Mike Massimino tells NBC News what this mission is all about.
So they're looking for signs of life. They're looking for signs of water maybe underneath the surface. The signs of life probably would be fossilized evidence of microbial life from ancient times, but still that's very, very exciting.
The rover will undergo some maintenance checks this weekend and take more pictures, including a panorama. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
A woman's death reveals the risks of getting organ transplants during the pandemic. A Michigan woman died last year, 2 months after a double lung transplant from a donor who unknowingly had COVID. Her case revealed in a medical journal released over a week ago. University of Michigan doctors say the donor initially tested negative for COVID. After the woman's death, more extensive testing found signs of the virus in the donor. This could be the first case of COVID being transmitted through an organ transplant. A doctor who handled the donated lungs also got the virus but recovered. President Biden in Michigan yesterday expressing confidence in achieving his vaccine goals. Weather causing some shipment delays, but Biden saying at a Pfizer vaccine plant that we're still on track for administering 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days. He also says it won't be much longer before we can all get a vaccine.
We're now on track to have enough vaccine supply for all Americans by the end of July. That doesn't mean it'll be in all Americans' arms, but enough vaccine will be available by that time.
Yeah, as we can get back to normal by the end of the year. This is USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman on your radio. Tribute to Rush broadcast. No guests, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you about this drive-by media scenario that happened to me personally. So the mainstream press literally took my photo from this peaceful rally where we gave people hugs and promised this old couple that would do our very best to advocate for their release from prison because we believe they're politically charged, wrongfully so. And so we went to their home, we prayed with them, we hugged them, we promised them, and we sang Amazing Grace to them. And then after that, they took that peaceful rally and mixed it with the later event that day, the takeover of the Mount Hero Wildlife Refuge. So while I was literally issuing a public press release to the media about our stance, they literally took that photo from the peaceful rally and they put that on articles that were pro and detailed takeovers as if I was part of the takeover and one of the leaders of the takeover. I mean, it's the drive-by media. Literally full auto assault like you cannot believe. And I talked to some attorneys about it because I wanted to sue them. And the attorneys were like, you know, you probably can't sue them. It was a bad, in bad taste photo for them to use. But they didn't make any claims. They didn't completely defame you in a direct way that could be attributable. Yeah, is it immoral? Yeah, is it dishonest? Yeah, is it in bad taste? Without a doubt. And Sam, it's really bad. It's super unfortunate. But you know, there's a lot of leeway in the media, buddy. And it really drove home this drive-by media reality check that I learned from Rush Limbaugh, that that's what they do. And the mainstream press would mock him for this. And even now after he's passed away, they're like, oh, you know, look, this guy talked about the drive-by. But you can see that. And I don't know how to make it more bluntly in your face personal than that was to me at that time in 2016. I just don't. I mean, it was just brutal. And my poor family was literally in fear because they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you didn't go get arrested, Sam. And I'm so glad that you're home with us. And but then that happened. And now the fear starts to happen because it's like, wait a minute, is Sam going to get arrested now? I mean, his photo's on this and he's intimately associated with this. True or not, oftentimes doesn't matter. Right. So will the drive-by media literally be able to take Sam out over this? But what's going to happen? And so I felt comfortable because I know that the evidence would be on my side. But I also felt like how wrong that was for the media to do that. They literally put me and my family in danger over that. And I began to understand that the drive-by media, it's true. It's like on full auto. It's an assault like you wouldn't believe. And Rush was right about that. Now, you know, Rush to some degree compared to others was kind of a powder puff host. But not always. He stood up and got a lot done, and he did a lot of good in the world. Some you know about. Some you don't know about. Okay? So let's talk about this. Country star John Rich is in the news right now. And the reason that he is, you know, I think that's Big and Rich. Is that the country group? Big and Rich, John Rich, okay. Country star John Rich revealed a secret donation that Rush Limbaugh made to the St. Jude Hospital Group. He says, when I was on Celebrity Apprentice. Now, isn't that Donald Trump's show, Celebrity Apprentice? Jay, isn't that right? All right, I'm going to start calling Jay Snerdly. Should I do that? Snerdly? You got to look that up, Snerdly. All right. Isn't that what well, Snerdly, just so, okay, so Jay's talking in my ear. You guys don't hear. But Jay says, I don't get that reference either. Just so you know, there's a guy by the name of Bo Snerdly. And Bo Snerdly is Jay, or Rush Limbaugh's producer. And so what Rush would always all the time is be like, Snerdly, look that up and make sure. Can you verify that, Snerdly? All right, straight from the horse's mouth, Snerdly has now verified that, yes, indeed, The Apprentice is Trump's, I don't know what you want to say, reality TV show there. And so, anyway, so Rush Limbaugh made this donation to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital when I was on Celebrity Apprentice, says John Rich. Rush Limbaugh made a donation of $100,000 to the St. Jude, only on one condition. Anonymous. Well, so that brings up the question, in all honesty and fairness to Rush Limbaugh. And what they always do is they say, Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul. You know, kind of thing, right? Anyway, but how many other donations did Rush make? He made a $100,000 donation. John Rich just brought that to our attention. He was promised to secrecy while Rush was alive. And then now that Rush has passed away, it's kind of his way of saying, look, this guy was a better guy than you might think. Look what he did. I know personally. And that's an example of, I was taught about the drive-by media reality check. I heard it from Rush, and then I kind of went, okay, I understand what he's saying. But then I experienced it firsthand, like you wouldn't believe, in a life-threatening kind of a circumstance even, to a great degree. Or a freedom loss scenario at the least, right? Could have been. Well, anyway, but so Rush did a lot of good, says John Rich. And many others are learning about the wonderful things that Rush did in his life. And there were many of them, folks, many of them. And that's kind of why I want to give a little bit of a tribute to Rush Limbaugh, because I kind of want to just, you know, have people realize that, you know, you may disagree with Rush politically. You may completely disagree. You may say, oh, man, he was part of the establishment. If you're, you know, kind of a conspiracy person or, you know, out of the establishment, you might say, well, Rush was just flat out mainstream press stuff. The Democrats would come back and say, oh, Rush was evil, man. Everything he said and did was just pro, you know, conservative or pro whatever. And it's bad. So you can take a lot of, what do you want to call it, reference points and say how Rush was a bad guy. But I submit to you that he was a lot better guy than he gets credit for. Without a doubt. And I appreciate John Rich doing a good job and telling us about this, because I appreciate kind of knowing the man. You know what? Sometimes at somebody's funeral, you learn so much about people, right? And this is an example where, you know, on his death, we learn about some of the wonderful things he did. And justly so. Well, anyway, Jay asked the question, who the heck is Bo Snerdly? Well, he's the man that doesn't exist, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you know that? Come on. Why doesn't he exist? Because it's not his real name. That's why. Bo Snerdly was the producer for Rush. Forever, for decades. Now, a lot of people would like to say that Rush was a racist, right? Oh, yeah, man, he's one of them white guys. Got white privilege going on everywhere and all that kind of... Well, I don't know if you know, but Bo Snerdly is not only not a real person, but he does exist. Yeah. Who the heck is Bo Snerdly, you might ask? Bo Snerdly... Well, so the New York Times raised doubt about Bo Snerdly's existence, okay? And you say, Sam, wait a minute, why are you going around in circles? Stick with your line of thought. I'm doing this on purpose. Because Bo Sternly was not a real person. That was a, what do you call it, stage name? What do they call that when they're authors, Jay? What do they call those guys? Pseudonym? Yeah. All right. But the New York Times raised doubts about Bo Sternly's existence. But the man on the Rush Limbaugh show, known as Bo Sternly, indeed does exist, and he expressed his love and admiration for his multi-decade long-term boss, Rush Limbaugh. He spoke in an emotional interview Thursday night. His name, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is James Golden. And he served as Rush Limbaugh's producer, call screener, and engineer since 1992. 102, 112, almost 30 years, baby. All right. Now, James Golden, the other interesting thing you need to know about him, was a black dude. Yep. Yeah, James Golden, the black gentleman that played the role of Bo Sternly on the Rush Limbaugh show, was a black man. And he's now on Sean Hannity giving this incredible interview. And he said, "We can't wrap our arms around this," James Golden told Hannity, who says he owes his own success to Limbaugh. "We can't wrap our brains and our hearts around that our beloved Rush has returned his talent to God. We are so thankful for him." Yeah. Now think about that, folks. So everybody's running around saying, "Oh yeah, you know, Rush Limbaugh, that guy's a conservative icon leader of kind of the white supremacy movement. And he's not really an open white supremacist or whatever. He's just, kind of a closet one. But he certainly kind of blows the dog whistle in favor of the racists." And he lies, absolute lies, straight from the pit of hell lies. Okay, folks? Bo Sternly was a real man. His name is James Golden, and he loved Rush. And that was a black man and a white friend standing shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of liberty. And race had nothing to do with it, and they were best friends. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, live and on your radio, Bo Sternly, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Times question if he is real. How goofy are they? Conspiracy theories on tap for the New York Times, to say the least. Guy's name is James Golden. He's a black gentleman. In my opinion, a real patriot. What an example of a good guy doing great things. But Rush did a masterful job at weaving his producer into the broadcast. Okay, Bo Snerdly, James Golden is his real name, got a lot of credit for things. So when Rush was on the air, since he was pretty much running solo, I mean, the guy would do 3 hours of hard-hitting radio every single day. Maybe not as hard-hitting as the radio we do, but, you know, he did his best, right? What do you do when you're kind of in the mainstream and you get massive fame and you're on 500-plus stations? Do you kind of mellow out a little bit, or do you, you know? Anyway, I digress. Rush was a great man, did a great job, did a lot of good things behind the scenes that you don't know. One of them was his promote his producer, like you wouldn't believe. And nobody really knew who Bo Snerdly was. Some people thought he was a prank, you know, character, but it turns out that he was a real man producing real quality, some of the best radio work ever produced. He was the call screener. He was the, okay, it was real. He was real. And so James Golden or Snerdly would be talked to on the radio all the time. So, you know, Rush would come out on a segment and he'd be like, I don't know if I ought to tell the people this. Hey, Snerdly, you got to tell everybody this? All right, Snerdly said I should tell you guys. So I'm going to tell you, Rush Limbaugh shaped the generation like nobody else could. And cultural thought, along with countless changing of individual lives. Anyway, Golden tweets now and is kind of a public figure speaking out. He said, believe it or not, Rush Limbaugh, I'd probably be working in a grocery store if it wasn't for you. Brother, we'll meet again, says James Golden. He said that in his interview with Sean Hannity. Now, Golden, and this is really interesting. James Golden said Rush Limbaugh is really a second-generation founding father. Isn't that interesting? You know, this black dude who no one knows about, now speaking out saying, look at Rush. Rush promoted me, gave me an incredible career. I'd probably be working in a grocery store if it wasn't for Rush. And you know what? Given just the praises to Rush. Okay? But let me explain something to you, ladies and gentlemen. It went beyond radio. This went beyond radio, James Golden, nicknamed Bo Snerdly for decades. This went beyond politics, he said. What Rush did for America, what Rush did changed so many trajectories for this country. When Limbaugh began his talk show in Sacramento in 1984, no one was on even TV or radio where you could get conservative ideology. Does Bo Snerdly exist? Come on. Yes, he does. He changed the media, said Golden. He changed the landscape. Rush Limbaugh's radio program grew for over 30 years. This is unheard of. And our audience ranged from small children all the way up to the senior of senior citizens. What's your metrics? What's your, you know, well, everybody, Rush would say. Beyond his accomplishments, James Golden said, Limbaugh was one of the finest human beings you would ever want to meet. Golden became emotional as he defended Rush Limbaugh against charges of racism. Yeah. Golden became emotional. So this black dude behind the scenes that no one even knew hardly existed, but was referred to every day and given credit every day by Rush. Rush would always talk about Snerdly. Hey, Snerdly, I'm gonna make a comment. I want you to make sure that, can you double, I've already checked my facts on this, Snerdly, but can you double down and confirm for, and he'd have, you know, James was behind the scenes doing all this stuff and scrambling and confirming facts and doing a tremendous job. But he'd always give his producer credit. His producer was his equal, as it should be, black or white, irrelevant, race irrelevant, right? But Golden became emotional as he defended Rush Limbaugh against charges of racism. What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? I really ask you honestly, what do you think of that? Right? This is really important. Okay, because it shows Rush's true character. It shows that we're not racists like you think we are, or like you're told that we are. Right? A generous, wonderful, beautiful spirit, says Golden about Rush Limbaugh. Humble, a gentleman, he said. Never failed to thank people for the smallest service that they could do for him or do to him. He never looked down on people, Golden said. It burns me to my soul when people sully his reputation with falsehoods, calling him racist. This man was just an incredible phenomenon. And we love you, Rush, he said. God bless and thank you, Sean Hannity, for having me on the radio or on the TV with you to discuss Rush. You can see the interview there. Now, guess who wrote up this? What do you want to call it? WorldNet Daily writes the article. Yes, Most Nerdly exists. Our beloved Rush has turned his talent to God. Unheard voice in studio expresses his love for American icon, writes Art Moore of WND, WorldNet Daily. Now, I bring this up because who's going to tell you the real news? Okay. In my opinion, that is the real news. That is who Rush Limbaugh was. Who would know him better than his producer? I mean, his wife, Catherine, maybe. But, I mean, this guy, Bo Snerdly, spent literally 3 hours a day every day with Rush. And I'm sure prep time and communications off air and had something to do with it, too. He said it went beyond radio. It went beyond politics. It was, yeah, they were dear friends. And so to those of you who call Rush Limbaugh or me or anybody else a racist, you are lying. Now, I say or anybody else. There are racists out there, folks. I'm sure there are. I don't know any of them. But there are. I say I don't know any of them because you know what, folks? You can't judge a person's heart. People say dumb things and kind of, get tempted into jokes and things about race or this and that. It's bad taste. Don't get me wrong. I'm not accepting it at all. But I am saying, you know what? That doesn't mean they're a racist just because they fall for that. Just because we have a bullying mentality in America these days. That doesn't change the reality check that, hey, they're probably not really racist. They just don't think through it well enough, right? So there you have it. Anyway, I commend Rush Limbaugh for the work that he did. And I would really ask out of that to Rush Limbaugh fans all across the country. Are you a truth seeker? Because I believe that Rush Limbaugh was a truth seeker. He didn't get it right all the time, in my opinion. But he would say, I don't get it right. And he'd probably be correct all the time. We're human, folks. We're talk show hosts. We're not above the people. Now, I know some would want you to believe we are, and some act like they are, and I get all that. But ladies and gentlemen, we put our pants on one leg at a time, right? I actually used to try to jump up when I was a kid and try to put my pants on both legs at the same time so that I could be different than everybody else, right? But I'm saying we are not above the people. We're just one of you. Now, we happen to have the gift of gab on loan from God, is how Rush would put it. I get his sentiments there. The point is to acknowledge God. The point is to say, on my own, I'm not really that important or valuable. I'm only who I am because of God's grace and God's, man, don't we circle back to this amazing grace, national anthem idea. I'm only great because I was blessed to be born and to live in and to receive the fruits of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I was born into a Christian family that taught me the principles of self-government. And I've learned to prize those governing values like nobody's business, right? And I understand that I'm a blessed person. And I've got tons of blessings. I wouldn't call it white privilege, though. I might call it American privilege. But we're all the children of God, and we have godly heritage. That gives us all godly privilege to some degree. If we keep his commandments, he'll bless us. If I make wise choices and keep his commandments and I'm blessed, is that privilege? Well, it's certainly all that I can do, and then grace added unto me by a loving Father in heaven. It is that. I'll be honest. It is that. But I'm not above the people. I'm not any better than you. I might have the gift of gab. I have the ability to communicate ideas rather succinctly. I have the ability to talk for a long time. Okay, those are one of my talents, I guess, right? I'm grateful for that. I don't think that I'm more important than anybody because of that blessing that I've received, or that ability to teach and instruct and guide and be a, what? Is it the first social media radio? Just wondering. It's one to many. I talked to a bunch of them. It's kind of social media, right? Pretty social. Me talking to you, us becoming friends, great family of radio listeners kind of thing. Rush pioneered that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. And guys like me learned from him and many others. I learned from Chuck Harder. I learned from Jerry Hughes. I learned from Rush Limbaugh. I don't know if you want to call it that, but I'm a second generation radio guy. I'm younger than all those guys. But I'm also a, what, third generation founding father? I hope to be a first generation patriot pioneer, restoring the republic of the traditions of our founders. And I hope to be the patriot pioneer that remains peaceful in doing so, rejecting revolution and standing for peaceful restoration. These things, right? Well, I don't think we're better than anybody else. And I don't want to be a guy that nobody can get to, nobody can talk to, nobody can hear from except for on my terms or my circumstances. I don't want to be that guy. Okay, I'm not a rock star. And I don't think Rush viewed himself as a rock star either. And I gather that because I have friends that knew Rush personally. One of them was a gentleman named Phil Mueller, who I mentioned, I think, yesterday or whatever, who helped Rush get hired on some of his first radio gigs or his first syndicated kind of gigs. And he got fired over Rush. They wanted to fire Rush, and my buddy Phil said, no, you're not. He was Phil's boss, or he was Rush's boss, and they fired both of them. But Phil was a stand-up guy, and so is Rush. And Phil would speak very well of Rush. And I'd say, well, can you get a hold of Rush now, Phil? And he's like, no, Rush doesn't really take my calls or whatever. And that's kind of where I get. I don't know if Rush wouldn't take his calls or if Rush didn't remember him or if those around Rush wouldn't really let Phil get to Rush so he couldn't, you know, let Rush know who he is. I don't know. But I know that even Phil, who knew Rush well, would speak fondly of him. And James Golden, Bo Snerdly, would speak fondly of Rush. And so the people that surrounded him spoke kind of him. And so I have to take away after his life. I don't want to judge his heart negatively. I want to pull the greatest attributes from him that I can and highlight those, like I would want to do for anybody. I then want to take the things that I've learned from him, and apply them in meaningful ways. Why? Well, because then his impact has synergism. That's why. Impact for good. Impact for critical thinking skills. Impact to promote God, family, and country. We hope that impact, like a pebble being tossed into the pond, we hope the ripple effect is tremendous. And if it's up to me, the ripple effect of good will never end. God bless you, Rush. Liberty Roundtable, hour one in the can, two coming up. God save the Republic.